Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, this is Dirt, your host for Wrestling Radio here in Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, the Pop Culture Network is the station you're listening to because it's the one that has what you want to hear. So, I don't know. I've been trying to come up with a tagline. Obviously, that doesn't work. I'll have to keep working on it, I guess, because that was just god-awful. All right, folks, we're going to talk about SmackDown. We're going to talk about Survivor Series. We've got some news and things to talk about. So let's just jump right in, shall we, with the big news that came out of WWE this last week were the cuts. Luke Gallows was cut. Shad Gaspard was cut. He had been sent back down to Florida Championship Wrestling and apparently just never clicked, never was able to, kind of move beyond where he had been in tag status, and so he was cut. Tiffany, she was cut. Of course, she has not been on TV in months and months and months ever since she had some freak out with Drew McIntyre at the Playboy Mansion and ended up getting arrested. So ever since then, she's been off TV, and eventually they just decided to drop her from the company. Kaelin Croft, Vance Archer, that makes me sad. Kaelin Croft, Vance Archer, they were both the Dude Busters, I believe. I'm going to double check that. You would think I would do research before I start the show, no, I really don't. Let's see, Kaelin Croft. Oh, Trent Beretta was it. So they kept. Oh right, Vance Archer was the Gatecrasher, not the Dude Buster. It was Vance Archer and another guy whose name escapes me because he was also pretty worthless. All right, Dude Buster's broken up and the Gatecrashers are broken up. So Kaelin Croft, Vance Archer, both gone. Jillian Hall. Amazingly enough, Jillian Hall, she was always seen as a person who could come on and be a good trainer for the women. And that was something that they had spoken of doing with her long term. But apparently, for whatever reason, they just decided that that just wasn't going to work anymore. And so Jillian Hall has been released. And then, of course, Big Dick Johnson, that's actually Christopher DeJoseph. He was a writer for WWE. Big Dick Johnson, he is the big, fat, oily guy, comes out and dances on screen with, whenever they're doing one of those wacky scenes and they need the big, fat guy to come out and spray oil and he's in the thong and whatever. Originally, it was just announced that he had left the company. And a couple places like WrestlingObserver.com were reporting it as he had asked for his release from the company. But later, then word came out that no, in fact, he was cut. There was something about him that caused some sort of problem, whatever. We don't have the whole story yet. He'll probably do a shoot or something in the next couple weeks, and we'll find out. But just for now, he has been fired from the company. So, pretty big house cleaning there. On the flip side, TNA did sign a new deal with Eric Young. So originally his contract had expired. He could not come to terms with them. So he just said, fine, I'm leaving. Goodbye. Thanks for the opportunity. And apparently, I'm guessing one of them blinked, and I'm guessing it's probably TNA, probably blinked, said, okay, what do you want? Was it about money? Was it benefits? Was it travel? What was the deal? And they worked it out. So that's what's going on with as far as that news and notes go. We're going to talk about SmackDown kind of quickly. SmackDown, okay, here's the deal with SmackDown. SmackDown was a much better show for selling the pay-per-view than Raw was. Raw was the old-school Raw gimmick. SmackDown was very much a Survivor Series preview show. They kept talking about a lot of matches as a Survivor Series preview. And so, from that point of view, it did work a whole lot better. The problem was, a lot of the matches on Survivor Series on paper, as far as feuds go, wanting to see people fight, not that great. So you got Survivor Series preview matches, but they were, feuds you really don't care about a whole lot. So the show overall, it was a much more solid show than Raw, but it was not fantastic. But here's the deal. I was thinking about this the other day. And SmackDown used to be a network show. And granted, it was UPN, and then it was My Network TV. Not exactly, you know, the greatest TV networks, failed networks, you can actually call them, as a matter of fact. But, you know, they were still network TV. And network TV pulls in a different audience than a cable channel. And it's still pretty much the same demographic most of the time, but it's a different group of people. You know, when I was growing up, I lived in a household that did not have cable. I did not have cable TV until I moved out of the house, you know, on my own after I was 18, and I said, I'm going to pay for cable television. But growing up in a house that had no cable TV, I watched all of these syndicated wrestling shows, Superstars and Wrestling Challenge and whatnot. And then when WWE started pushing more for the USA Network and putting more stuff on cable, and the infomercials started kind of pushing the show, you know, out of syndication and off of your local TV networks, that's when I got out of wrestling, because I just couldn't watch it anymore. You know, if there was anything I could watch, it was just one of those silly recap shows, and what's the point of watching one of those if you can't actually see the real matches? So even though SmackDown was on, you know, failed TV networks, it still reached to a different group, a group that wasn't, you know, a dedicated cable viewing audience. And another big thing with SmackDown is that it had very low DVR numbers. It was mostly people who on Friday night sat down in front of the TV and watched 2 hours of wrestling. And so now that they're on Sci-Fi, it's back to a different group. It's a different market. It's a different, it's a viewing audience much more similar to what you see on Raw. And so therefore, they, apparently this is what they've decided, and we'll see how well it works on this, you know, Survivor Series being kind of this test. They've kind of tested a little bit more before, but it was a lot more blatant this time around. Raw was a gimmick show. It was a 3-hour show. It got people, you know, just to tune in and watch Raw, but they really didn't hammer the pay-per-view. It was more about selling WWE. When it came to SmackDown on Friday night, then it was 2 days before the pay-per-view, and it was hammer the pay-per-view. Pay-per-view, 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 all night long. And so we'll have to see, you know, what kind of difference it makes in numbers. Survivor Series traditionally does a pretty good number. It's seen as one of the big five throughout the year. But it has struggled the last few years to get a good viewer base. And, you know, Vince McMahon at one time was even talking about dropping Survivor Series completely. Then they were talking about keeping the name but losing the format of the match. Well, they've decided to go ahead and keep it. And let's be honest, I don't think anybody bought Survivor Series to see the Survivor Series match. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to see a 5-on-5 elimination match. You can see those all the time. You know, we saw them right before Night of Champions. We saw them right before Bragging Rights. We saw them right before WrestleMania. You know, you see them all the time. So in that sense, it is a failure to continue to try to draw an audience. But I think it is, you know, fair to say that Survivor Series, the name as a pay-per-view, still has a draw. It's still seen as one of the big ones. So SmackDown was centered more about Survivor Series. It opened up with a couple video packages. Then we had Del Rio in the ring talking about MVP. So MVP came out, got in his face. MVP wanted a fight with him. Del Rio said, nope, I'm in a match with Rey Mysterio, but I tell you what, you can't fight with Drew McIntyre. So MVP versus Drew McIntyre had a fine match. Nothing really special about it. It basically had a quick finish. Drew McIntyre charged at MVP. MVP ducked out of the way. So McIntyre slammed into the corner. MVP hit the drive-by boot and got the pinfall. So there you go. We had a promo in back with Edge talking about Kane in a feud that nobody cares about. Chavo Guerrero was in back complaining to Teddy Long. Kane came in, yelled a bunch of stuff, started throwing furniture. I don't know what the hell was going on. He was freaking out about Paul Bearer, but, you know, who cares? We had Chris Masters versus Jack Swagger. This was a Survivor Series preview since both those guys are on opposing teams. It was a fun match. Jack Swagger, I think, really looked good here. Chris Masters continues to look like a guy who will never get out of the mid-card. He just has, you know, he's lacking a certain charisma. Jack Swagger looked like a guy who needs to get more of an upwardly mobile push. But the match itself was fine. Jack Swagger got the ankle lock submission. Let's see. We had Edge in the back again. I don't even remember who he was talking to, but They ended up playing dodgeball and beating somebody in the head. I don't know. Anyway, then we had Caval in the back, and Caval and Dolph Ziggler had a match, and this was actually a lot of fun. I think Caval and Dolph Ziggler have a good chemistry. Dolph Ziggler, you know, I've been talking about him for a while. I think he's great. Caval, of course, everybody loves. So two of them had a fine little match. Caval won, and he started to celebrate and go crazy and hug the referee and jumped up on the referee and just celebrated and ran out to the crowd and grabbed the microphone and said, because he won NXT, he gets a chance at a title shot whenever he chooses. So he's going to face Dolph Ziggler at the pay-per-view for his Intercontinental title. And people popped for it. Caval sounded great. This came across as people who care about the belt. So I was fine with everything having to do with this. They had Edge in the back, working out and playing with the wheelchair and whatever. We got Kofi Kingston versus Cody Rhodes. This is another Survivor Series preview match with both guys on the opposing teams. It was an okay match, but it looked a little sloppy in parts. It looked like Kofi missed something at one point and Cody missed something else going on. But the crowd was into it and it built well. So eventually Cody grabbed a handful of hair and a handful of tights and used it to his advantage to put Kofi Kingston into the crossroads and get the pinfall. Then we cut back to Kane in the back and yelling around and screaming, and Rosa looked freaked out, and he was yelling about Edge and whatever. Go back to the ring. We had Lay Cool versus Natalya and Kelly Kelly, of course, because Natalya is 2-on-1 versus Lay Cool at the pay-per-view. Did a quick little match. It was short. Really not a whole lot to it. I don't even know if Kelly started out, then tagged into Natalya, and I don't think Kelly ever came back in. Michelle McCool got a blind tag. They did a double boot on Natalya and got the pinfall, so whatever. Cut back to the back. We had Edge again. And he had Paul Bearer tied up and started dumping food on him and whatever. Go to commercial, come back. We had Kane in the back, and he was crying because he missed his daddy. And, oh, gosh. Back out to the ring, we had Big Show versus Tyler Rex, Survivor Series preview match, because two guys on opposing teams. Quick little match, Big Show ended up hitting the choke slam, getting the pin on Tyler Rex. Went to the back, had Alberto Del Rio, and he was captain versus captain match. Him and Rey Mysterio wanted to have this match, and talked about how you know, he was going to become the biggest hero now after he defeats Rey. Then we went back to Edge again, and he was out back in the parking lot, and he was yelling for Kane, pulled the tape off Paul Bearer's mouth, and Paul Bearer started yelling, and Kane came running out trying to find Edge, and Edge ended up jumping off a car onto Kane, tossed him around a couple times. Edge got into the car, had Paul Bearer in the back, and drove off, making some sort of crack about how we're going to see Paul Bearer drown, whatever. So finally, we got Alberto Del Rio versus Rey Mysterio in their match. And when Rey went to go for the 619, Del Rio ran to the outside, and the entire team ran down and attacked Rey Mysterio. So Rey Mysterio won by DQ, but then Rey Mysterio's team ran down. And, you know, huge fight between these two teams. So Teddy Long came out and said, you're going to have a Battle Royal Survivor Series preview. And they basically just ended up with Big Show and Rey Mysterio getting rid of the final guys on the other team, and those two guys got the win. So Rey Mysterio, Big Show, forced to be reckoned with, big guy, little guy. That's your story for SmackDown. So there you go, everybody. That's what you missed. If you missed SmackDown, you missed way, way, way too much of Kane versus Edge. They know that nobody cares about this feud. Nobody gives a crap. It's really just kind of a placeholder until Undertaker can heal and come back, but they know it's going to be a while and they have to throw a lot into it. So just had way too much going on with that. I don't think there's I don't think there's anybody out there who cares about that feud. Maybe you do. I don't know. If you do, let me know. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we will have your look at the Survivor Series pay-per-view.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to PopCultureNetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at PopCultureNetwork.com.
Check out www.LockerRoomHQ.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.PopCultureNetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.PopCultureNetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.PopCultureNetwork.com. You know, one of these years I'm going to have to update those commercials. It's kind of funny, because most of those people have recorded new commercials. I just haven't bothered to get them on my computer yet. Yes, everybody, we're back. This is Wrestling Radio Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. I, of course, whether you like it or not, am your host, Dirt, and we are here now to talk about the Survivor Series. Show opened with a big video package. Will Cena screw over Randy Orton, or will he get fired? It's kind of funny because the way they played this, it was really not about whether or not Wade Barrett would be champion, not about whether or not Randy Orton could continue his dynasty, his seventh reign as world champion. It was really, what is John Cena's decision going to be? And obviously, you know, they're not going to turn him heel. So what's the decision going to be? Well, the only thing they can do then at that point is have him call it right down the line and get fired. So at that point, I was pretty much sure that John Cena was getting fired. But we would have to wait and see what would happen. Daniel Bryan versus Ted DiBiase for the United States title. This was a fantastic match. Of course, Daniel Bryan is great. Him and Ted DiBiase had some matches that were hit and miss in the past, but these two guys had a lot of fun. They had a really good match here. It ended up with Daniel Bryan fighting for the LaBelle Lock with Ted DiBiase, and the two of them actually made it look like a struggle. So it was really, you know, kind of fun to watch, but eventually he locked it in. DiBiase tapped out. Maurice looked pissed. And then The Miz and Alex Riley came running out and attacked Daniel Bryan with the briefcase. Miz cut a promo, said something about some basketball teams and whatever, and who cares. And then he ended up leaving. And the best part was there were some issues with the lighting here tonight. A couple times the lights seemed to flicker off for a second and then come back on. Well, they flicked off right as Miz was doing his catchphrase. It was great because it made him look like a total tool. They had Sheamus versus John Morrison. And they played it off as, you know, the storyline has been John Morrison has been attacking Sheamus because Sheamus is a bully. So John Morrison is standing up to this bully, and he's going to teach him a lesson on how to treat other people and whatnot and here, there, and whatever. And, you know, I have to admit, I didn't really expect a lot out of this match. It's a feud that, you know, I don't necessarily care about, but I do like Sheamus. I would like to see Sheamus turn face. I posted something on my Facebook about it, and people immediately started asking me questions if I'm a big fan of mayonnaise, and, you know, I am. I'm a white guy. But, you know, I'd love to see Sheamus turn, but these two guys had a match, and it ended up being a lot of fun. John Morrison actually got the win because Sheamus missed the brogue kick. And Morrison jumped up onto the middle rope, hit a flying kick, hit the Shining Wizard, and got the pin. And amazingly enough, it was just a clean win for John Morrison over Sheamus. And I know that the plan is not to bury Sheamus. This is not Sheamus getting beat by a smaller guy because he's being punished for something. He's friends with Triple H, and the two of them have something worked out for Triple H's return. But they had Sheamus lose here and lose clean to John Morrison, which I'm hoping is part of a push for John Morrison. And I'm kind of hoping it will be a situation where John Morrison is starting to get a push. He's going to have some big money match for Sheamus, but then Triple H is going to come in, steal his thunder, take his spot, whatever, and then it'll help to turn John Morrison back heel where he needs to go. I don't think that'll happen, but I'm hoping. Anyway, they had a segment backstage, R-Truth, John Cena. R-Truth said, you know, Nexus is banned from ringside, but, you know, it's a no DQ match, and so I'm not banned from ringside. I could run out and, you know, cause something to happen, and you could go ahead and count. And, you know, it wouldn't be your fault if, you know, there happens to be some sort of DQ there. It's not your fault. You know, I could come in and help you out. And John Cena just said, no, I would never be able to live with myself if I did something like that. Get out of here. And so R-Truth got mad and just basically said, you know, I'll believe it when I see it if you're really going to stand up to your principles. So, of course, once they said that again, John Cena is going to have to stand up to his principles, get fired. Dolph Ziggler versus Caval. This was a great match. Not as much heat as I expected, especially considering the reaction that happened on SmackDown. But then again, how many people watch SmackDown versus Raw and show up to these pay-per-views? And it's funny. I was watching, I don't remember where it was, but there was some sort of breakdown of people at Live Raw, Live SmackDown, and Live pay-per-views. And Live pay-per-views are much more of a social event than a Raw or a SmackDown. Raw versus SmackDown is, more of the, if you want to say, more of the hardcore fan who is there to just see the show, whereas the pay-per-view, if Survivor Series is coming to your town, Elimination Chamber, something like that, you're much more willing to find that random friend, that guy at work, who doesn't really watch wrestling, but he's willing to come to the pay-per-view. He won't pay, you know, $25 to come to Raw, or $34.95 to sit in the front row of SmackDown, or anything like that, but, you know, for a pay-per-view, then they're willing to go. It has more of that, you know, if you want to say, the big fight atmosphere. And so the crowds at pay-per-views are a lot of times different than the crowds you're going to find at Raw or SmackDown. But anyway, Dolph Ziggler versus Caval, it was a great match. But there was one point where Caval threw Dolph Ziggler into the ropes. And Dolph Ziggler came off the ropes, and it looked like he was expecting some sort of reversal coming off the ropes. And Caval, instead of the reversal, went for a kick. And I'm not sure exactly what was supposed to happen, but what did happen is Dolph Ziggler got kicked in the face hard. I mean, as soon as he hit, you could tell, you know, the commentary guys, usually, Jerry Lawler will see a big hit and be like, oh my gosh, did you see that big hit? You know, and do something, you know, say some silly line or whatever. In this situation, as soon as Caval landed that kick on Dolph Ziggler's face, all three guys on commentary were just like, oh, totally unscripted, you know, totally out of nowhere. And later on, you could see that Dolph Ziggler was, in fact, bleeding from the nose. So he may have broken his nose. And they even commented that he may have broken his nose, and he very well may have. But still, it was a fun match. But eventually, Caval had Dolph Ziggler in the cradle. Looked like he was going to win. But Ziggler reversed, grabbed the trunks, used it for the extra leverage, and retained the title. So hopefully, that was a screw job type finish against Caval so that their feud can continue, because I'd like to see some more matches out of those guys. They had Jack Swagger backstage. He was upset that the part of Miami they're in is called Little Cuba. He said, I'm an American. I don't want to be in Little Cuba. Cody Rhodes came in, started making fun of him. Del Rio came in with Drew McIntyre and whoever else was on their team. I don't remember. But anyway, started talking about, how you have to hold the team together. He's the captain. Everybody should follow him because that's how they're going to win tonight. And the match is basically already won. Just trust him. So next we got the Team Mysterio versus Team Del Rio. Rey Mysterio, Big Show, MVP, Chris Masters, and Kofi Kingston. If you can guess out of those five guys, Rey Mysterio, Big Show, MVP, Chris Masters, and Kofi Kingston, who got no reaction from the crowd out of those five guys? Well, if you said Chris Masters, you are correct. And then we had Team Del Rio come out. Of course, Alberto Del Rio, Drew McIntyre, Jack Swagger, Cody Rhodes, and Tyler Rex. And if you can guess, out of those five guys who got no sort of reaction, Tyler Rex. MVP got a huge pop, though, because Miami is his hometown where he comes from. So, basically, MVP, because he got the huge reaction, it was his hometown crowd, he was eliminated first. Del Rio ended up getting punched out. He got into a confrontation with Big Show. He tagged in, I believe it was Drew McIntyre, then got smug in Big Show's face. Big Show punched him, knocked him out. Referees dragged him out of the ring, carried him to the back. And so it kind of had that feeling like you thought maybe Del Rio would run back out at the end to make some sort of save, but that never happened. Eventually, it came down to Rey Mysterio and the Big Show versus Drew McIntyre. And Big Show hit the choke slam on McIntyre, got the pin. So just like what happened on SmackDown, they had Big Show and Rey Mysterio win the Survivor Series match. And nobody cared. All right, we had Lay Cool versus Natalya for the Divas title. It was a handicap match. It was really kind of short. Not a whole lot happened. They just had Natalya kind of beat up on both of them. She got over on them. She threw Layla out. She got McCool into the sharpshooter. She had Michelle McCool beat. Like at some point, it looked like she was going to get a three count. Instead of going for the pin, she picked her up to put her in the submission. And I thought, well, this is where the reversal is going to come. But instead, she got the submission, and she won the Divas title. And so as she's celebrating, of course, Lay Cool comes back into the ring to attack her. This brings out Beth Phoenix, who makes her big return. Beth Phoenix aligns herself with Natalya, helps Natalya celebrate. And so now it looks like we're going to get a Lay Cool versus Beth Phoenix and Natalya feud, which, I don't know, guess should be all right. We had Kane versus Edge for the world title. This match was slow, it was boring, nobody cared. They ended up having Edge hit the spear on Kane, and when they both fell down, they both had their shoulders on the mat. Edge had his arm on top of Kane, but both his shoulders were down as well. So the referee said that it was a tie, and with the tie, the title stays with Kane. Edge got mad, threw Kane in the empty wheelchair, and threw him through the barricade off of the wheelchair. It was hokey. It was stupid. And again, no heat. Nobody cared. They had Wade Barrett in back with John Cena. Talked about the fact that Miami was where Nexus had come out, where they beat up John Cena and made their stand. Cut to the ring. We had Nexus come out for the title tag title match. We had Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel versus Santino and Kozlov. They eventually had it down to a short match where Santino was about to hit the Cobra on Heath Slater and was going to win, but then David Otunga, Mike McGillicuddy all jumped up on the apron, and when Santino jumped after those guys, tried to hit him with the Cobra, they both jumped off. He then turned around, and Heath Slater hit him with the finisher, what do they call it, the necktie, and ended up getting the pin. So then Nexus goes to celebrate. The Raw general manager chimes in, tells all the Nexus guys to get the heck out of there because they can't be there for the next match, which is our main event, Randy Orton versus Wade Barrett for the title, John Cena as special referee. Now, here's the thing with this match. Just like the WWE title match, this world title match, the other one was the world title match. This was the WWE title match. That's right. This match, just like the other match, was slow. It was boring. It was not good. Now, part of the reason why maybe it was no good just was simply the fact that Wade Barrett is not ready to be a main event guy. Maybe also it was because it was built around this whole idea of whether or not Cena was going to screw over Randy Orton and give the title to Wade Barrett. And when people were just waiting for that moment to happen, they didn't care about anything else. Either way, the match just was... It had very little heat. It had very little excitement. Eventually, what happened was Wade Barrett started arguing with John Cena, where he thought he should have defeated Randy Orton, but Randy Orton grabbed the bottom rope. So Cena just got mad at Wade Barrett, gave him a shove. Wade Barrett flipped right around to Randy Orton, got hit with the RKO. Randy Orton immediately covered Wade Barrett, and John Cena went 1-2, paused for a second, thought about it, hit the 3. And he hits the 3, and Randy Orton is your WWE champion. Wade Barrett has lost, and John Cena is now fired from WWE. Now, of course, as soon as this happens, they have Randy Orton and John Cena kind of face off against each other a little bit. Nexus guys come running down, try to attack, and the two of them fight them off. And once they get all the Nexus guys to leave, John Cena goes out, gets a title belt, hands it to Randy Orton. The two of them hug. Randy Orton, just acknowledges that you did the right thing. You stood by me. I appreciate that. He left Cena out there. Cena was sad. He took off his armbands. He went out, gave Michael Cole a hug. He gave the sign guy, the guy with the blue shirt and the red hat, who's in the front row of just about every WWE televised event, he gave that guy a hug. He hugged a little kid who was out in the entryway. He smiled at a couple people, waved at a couple people. He waited. People just weren't buying it. Like, it was sad. It was a good moment. It was a full moment. It was a complete moment. But nobody bought that John Cena is fired. They did the angle. They did it perfectly. They did everything they had to do, but people just didn't buy it. So John Cena, he kind of stands on the stage like he's about to leave, but then he turns around, smiles at the crowd, runs out into the crowd, and security starts freaking out, so I don't know if this wasn't planned or what the deal was, but just runs out in the crowd, starts slapping hands and hugging people, and just walking through the crowd, just shaking hands with people, and almost like a greasy politician trying to get reelected. And just kind of made his way through the arena and then back up the entryway and said goodbye and left. And that was the end of the show. And again, they hit all the right beats. They did everything as if this was his final night on the show. They did everything correct that they needed to do, but just nobody was really buying it. Because how can you? I mean, he's fired. Okay, there's about 100 different storylines they can do. He was fired from Nexus, but Vince McMahon can rehire him. He can be hired by R-Truth to be R-Truth's manager, and that gets him back into the company. I mean, there's tons and tons and tons of, stupid little silly things that could, have him buy a ticket, be in the front row, and just attack Wade Barrett. And that's another thing. He had promised for weeks that no matter what the outcome of the match was, as soon as it was over, he was going to attack Wade Barrett and beat the crap out of him. Didn't happen. Didn't happen on this show. So there's just a lot of things kind of still up in the air, and a lot of things where people, it's an interesting storyline, and from a storyline kind of point of view, I can be like, okay, I see that this is something that adds a certain layer of drama and intrigue, but at the same time, I don't buy the stipulation. I don't know anybody who buys the stipulation. I don't know 6-year-old kids who actually believe that John Cena is fired. So where they go from here, who knows? But, overall, I thought the pay-per-view as a whole was a thumbs up. Most of the matches were pretty good. The Survivor Series match was kind of lame. The two title matches were weak. But the ending of the show with John Cena losing, it's just kind of like, I kind of saw that coming. I'm surprised that they did it. And I am kind of interested to see where we go from here. So that's your rundown for Survivor Series, everybody. Again, I want to thank you for listening. This is a wrestling radio here at Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And there you go. In honor of my love of Sheamus, my love for mayonnaise, let's do a Sheamus song to end everything out tonight. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow as we talk about tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw.
I took out Triple H. Well, how about it? You and me. You think for 1 second this is over? You're wrong. You want to talk about pathetic, fella? See, I will be WWE champion again. Because I took out the son-in-law. You lost. You lost, fella. Fella. H. Fella. H. Fella. H. Fella. Fella.